The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
You know, God has given mankind a supreme goal. And if we really understood it, we really thought about it, if mankind would keep and would follow God's instructions as He commanded, as He would want it to be, this goal would result in perfection. What an awesome thing to think about. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know every hand would go up, but the question would be, how many of us, you know, would want to be perfected? And I know we all do. And then on the other side, how many of us are now perfected and none of the hands would go up? But it's what we would want. We would want perfection. In fact, we're told in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, let us go on to perfection. So it's something that God is looking to. He's wanting us to do that. But now I do want you to go to Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5:48 tells us, become you therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. It says, be you therefore perfect, but the correct term for us would be to understand, the correct phrase would be, become you therefore perfect, even as our Father God is perfect. Brother, the ultimate supreme goal of perfection is becoming a literal son of God in His family. And when we really understand this, as we really comprehend this, what we see is this is God's purpose for humanity. And for us to reach this God-given goal as true believers, then what we need to be doing is we need to be focusing our minds firmly on God, our Father, and on our brother Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. I know I read this verse a lot and probably will continue to read this verse a lot. There is so much more and we have it pretty much memorized, but there's so much to this verse and I am sensing this verse more and more and more as we go along as the days approach to the return of Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. So, brethren, what we need to realize is that all areas of life must be viewed from this perspective of keeping and seeking God first in our mind, seeking God first, His kingdom, and His righteousness. And of course, I think we understand as we are in that fall season with trumpets pass, atonement a few days away, and then the Feast of Tabernacles on the last great day with a few days after that, then this is something that should be on our minds. And so it ties right into all of this. And then one of you actually also stop and think about it from another point of view, is there are only two aspects of our goals in life that we can even seek. The physical or the spiritual. We're either seeking one or the other. We're either seeking one or the other. And you can say, well, I'm not seeking either one. Yes, you are. Because if you're not seeking the kingdom of God, you're seeking the physical things of this world in one way or another. And so those are the two and only areas that we can be, that where we would have goals. And there's something else, brethren. We have to emphasize one or the other. One or the other has to win out. And so here's the thing. If we emphasize the physical over the spiritual, we will eventually lose everything, even the fleeting, temporary physical goals that we are seeking that we might even achieve. Then on the other hand, if we emphasize the spiritual over the physical, then what's going to happen is we're eventually going to gain everything and eventually be born into the family of God. So let's weigh this out right quick. On one hand, you seek all the physical. Whatever you gain in this life, it's going to lose out. Or on the other hand, you seek the spiritual and we're going to gain everything, and including eternal life in the family of God. Now, choose. I mean, that's what God tells us to do. At this point, another thing that I'd want us to understand is, and I want to state for the record, is that we must realize and understand and remember, and I know you do, but I want to put it here so it's, like I said, it's there on the record, that we cannot possibly do this unless we have Jesus Christ living his life in us through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So as we are at this time now, in the fall holy day season, like I said, trumpets has passed, atonement is just a matter of days away, and then the Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day just a few days beyond that. This is the time where all of these days collectively picture for us the time when we will be born into God's family. Then as a result of seeing this and focusing the time on where we are, then I'd like for us to take a look at some principles to help us to be able to seek perfection, sonship in the family of God. And again, we need to remember that we cannot do this on our own. It must be Jesus Christ living his life in us. So principle number one that I want us to take a look at, that is making walking with God our highest ambition and supreme desire in our life. In other words, seeking first the kingdom of God, seeking God first, seeking first the spiritual things. From the very beginning, God has shown to us that all of our desires and our goals and our potential and our yearnings are to be fulfilled through him. Please go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. In verse 1 it says, there's a prophet who comes along, and what he says doesn't really come about. In other words, he's not really talking for God in that sense. Drop down to verse 3. This is Deuteronomy 13 in verse 3. You shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you to know whether you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. He just covered every area of life. At every area of life, he tells us, seek you first the kingdom of God. Put God first. That's what he's saying. This is what these verses is telling us back from the Old Testament. So this is not just something New Testament. This is an Old Testament as well. Put God first, put God first, put God first. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever it is. Now, we're going to be going away to the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to be eating and we'll be drinking. And I hope it is pointed out wherever you may attend the feast that we are to be eating and drinking in the presence of God and knowing that and thinking about that. But we're going to be doing that. And it's very plain from this verse that it says that we are to do all of these things to the glory of God. But how many times, I'm not asking for comments, But how many times have you at the Feast of Tabernacles seen people where they put this, the glory is back on them? I mean, I've seen this, and I know you have too. If you think about it, you know, there's been times whenever I have been so embarrassed for people because I thought they don't get this. They don't understand this. And they've been at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they're spending their money, you know, their second tithes on something that they've desired after, or as it says, that you can lust after. And so they order something that they probably couldn't afford at other times in the year, and it comes to them, and it's not prepared exactly the way they want it. So they send it back. And then they send it back a second time. And by this time, you know, I'm already so, I wish I were somewhere else right now. You know, and you maybe have experienced that, you know, and I'm thinking they're glorifying themselves. They're not glorifying God. And I'm not saying that there not be a time whenever you might not need to send something back. That's not even the point, but it's the attitude, it's the way it's done, and I think that you might have experienced that, or hopefully not. But you know, brethren, unless this biblical relationship is right with God and acts as our foundation for life, everything else is wrong. If we're not eating and drinking and whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And it's this phrase in this verse 31 that I'm really emphasizing, whatsoever you do, whatever it is, do it to God's glory. And we need to remember Matthew 6:33, seeking God first. And if we're seeking God first, then we will do that. We will do whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Now, please go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, let's read verse 10. Go with me to verse 10. Psalm 119 and verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought you. O, let me not wander from your commandments. Is this something that's in our heart? Is this something that is in our mouth, something that's in our thoughts? Remember this first principle we're looking at? You know what the first principle we're looking at is? Make walking with God, His way of life, the supreme goal and desire in our life. And this is what we're seeing here through these words. Drop down to verse 128. 128. Therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Do we agree with this verse? Do we practice this verse? In other words, brethren, we must carefully treasure the word of God. And then we need to declare it to others. We need to meditate on it. And we need to wholeheartedly desire in it. And then, by His grace, we can act accordingly to it. Then we can actually do these things because of the grace of God, not because of us. But we can do this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. To seek God first requires, here's where I get into being the preacher, daily prayer, daily Bible study, meditation on God's word, and it needs to be the major focus of our lives, even during the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, but I don't have time. There's all these activities. That's not seeking God first. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the activities. In fact, the activities are great. They're good. They're wonderful. They're to draw brethren together, to have fellowship and fun and all of these things. And through it, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever we do, do it all through the glory of God. Even the activities. But we individually, we still are to be first seeking God first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So we need to keep that in mind. We need to focus on that, because we need to also remember, brethren, that as God's church, we are headed in one of two directions. We are either headed in the direction of eternal life as sons of God and his family, or eternal death, the lake of fire. And we're reminded. We're reminded in Romans 6:33. The wages of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we also are reminded of the fact that it says the wages of sin is death. And so we need to be aware of this. We need to be aware of these things. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. The emphasis is going to be on the A part of the verse, the first part. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. I'm going to read the rest of the verse, but that's the main part that I'm focused on. The judgment is on us. It's on us now. It's judgment on those who are not part of the church of God. Now, not really. Not in the same way. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The decisions and the actions that we make daily will show which direction or which course we are on, whether it be life or death. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I know many of you have this verse committed to memory. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. And so parents and grandparents, you know, the first choice is that we are to make is seeking God first. And we do it, yes, for us, but we also do it for our children, and we do it for our grandchildren, and we do it for the generations after, because we set this precedent in our families, in our homes. This is how we do this. We do this. This is how we seek life first. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Here it says, I've set before you life on one hand, death on the other, and the right answer is life. This is the one to choose. But we have to make the choice. And there's a lot of things that can get in our way that will cause us to choose something else other than this first. And anything else is wrong. I'm not saying sin. I'm saying it's the wrong choice, not having it first. And that's what the emphasis is. That's what the emphasis is we're supposed to be doing. So let's make walking with God, living his way of life, living by every word of God, first and foremost, the highest ambition and supreme desire in our life. A second principle that can help us as we seek perfection, sonship, and the family of God is that we must learn to be humble as God is humble. God is humble? God is humble. He created all things. He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all of these things. He knows how to do all of these things that mankind cannot do, cannot and never would do on our own. But he's humble. I think that if I had any kind of real complaint against the Church of God as at large, I think that it would be, from time to time, I have seen some of us, I mean some of us as members of the Church of God, seem to represent ourselves as being better than others because they're not here in the church. That's somebody to me that is not seeking the first principle. They're not putting God first. We aren't here because of how wonderful we are. We are here because of how awesome and loving and forgiving and merciful God is. And we're here to use and to learn all the things that God has for us. so that we can help others as they too come along. But it doesn't make us, of and by ourselves, better than someone else because we're here. It just means we have a whole lot of responsibility now, and we need to think about it. And, of course, the obvious question is this a humble attitude when somebody does that? And I know we all would know, of course it's not. Of course it's not. Go with me to the book of Psalm 113. 113. When we think about it, even with all of God's great power and glory, God is humble. Verse 5, Psalm 113 and verse 5, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high? The answer is nobody. We're becoming perfected like he is, but are we there yet? No, we're moving in that direction. Is anyone like God who dwells on high? No. And then you read verse 6. Who humbles himself. Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. I mean, if you put everything on a scale, you know, God obviously is way up here at the top and everything else is so far down below it. And I know you understand what I mean, yet he humbles himself to even deal with the things in heaven and on earth. So God is humble. And we sometimes have a vanity problem. We are to be as he is. We also see in Scripture that Jesus, when he walked the earth, was humble. Because that's talking about God in heaven, and if you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. So they're both like that. They both are humble. And we're even going to see that Jesus, as he walked the earth, was humble. Let's go to Philippians 2 and verse 8. You know this verse. But let's go there. Philippians 2, 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Meaning, we understand the terms, you know, here in this context is talking about that he gave up his Godhead to come down and to become man. You think that's not humble? That's humbling. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And he was humble. So I think one of the principles that we need to think about and we need to learn and we need to live is he was humble, and we're to be like he was, and we're to be humble also. And so we need to think about this and we need to realize it. And actually, when we get down right to it, we really have nothing to boast about anyway. I mean, if we think we do, we don't. Genesis chapter 3, let's make ourselves a comparison with God. God is humble and we're not humble. Genesis 3 verse 19 to memory. Dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. If that's not really humbling to us, you know, to prick our human ego that we think we're really something, you know, we're this and we're that and all of these. We're dust. We're dust. We're going to go back to dust. Now, we understand. On the other side of that, we're going to be changed from flesh to spirit and born into the kingdom of God. And that's awesome, but we didn't do that. God's doing that. And so we see that and we understand. So, brother, whatever we might accomplish, whatever level of accomplishment or great or whatever it is in this world that it might be, neither you nor I alone can take full credit. Others helped us along the way. And we need to remember that. And in the final analysis, God is the one who is responsible, and he is the one who should be glorified or praised or honored. And he tells us he was humble, and he is humble. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." So it doesn't matter how wise we may be. I hope that we're all wise, because God tells us how to have wisdom. It says, if any man likes wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. So we need to be wise. And so he's making a comparison here, and he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Who gave us the strength, the abilities, and all of these kinds of things? Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Oh, I made my own self wealthy. Really? Really? When you really think about it, no, we don't. Yeah, you put forth a lot of effort. You did a lot of things to be wise, yes. To be mighty, yes. To be rich, yes. But let him that glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. The me is God. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So I think that we need to realize and understand that we need to be careful and we need to be grateful and we need to give credit where credit is due. And yes, we can arise, to levels, and I understand all of that. But we still need to be humble in all of this, recognizing where it came from. It wasn't of and by ourselves. So principle number two is we need to learn to be humble as God the Father and Jesus Christ are humble. Principle number three is we are seeking perfection, sonship, and God's family. We need to be very careful and cautious about what we allow to enter into our minds. We can say our minds and our hearts. But what goes into our mind? What we allow to get in here? Let's go to Job 32, Job 32, verse 8. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Now, that's where it's to come from. God is to give us the understanding. We're to have knowledge, which are the facts, and understanding, which is a comprehension about the facts. And then we're to have wisdom, which is to live it all as a way of life. And all of that comes from God. All of that comes from God. This is what he's saying. This is what we're seeing. So it is God who is the one who created the mind of man as a wonderful and as a marvelous instrument that we are to be using to glorify God. So, brethren, we need to monitor our thoughts, and we need to allow only that knowledge that is true and good to enter into our minds. We need to put a check up there to keep things out. Barbed wire fences, do not enter, not allowed, beware of dog. Whatever. And to have it in our minds. If there's just certain information, we just don't want it in our minds. We don't want it there. This is why it's so important for us to be careful about all kinds of things, such as the movies we watch, the books we read, the music we listen to, and it can go on and on and on. And I know that we get caught up in all of this because it's all around us. And it's so easy to get caught up into these things. Don't. If you find yourself there, throw up the brakes and go, no, this is wrong and I don't want this. I want this out of my mind. We don't want this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Another verse that probably many of you have committed to memory. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's another way of saying, put up those stop signs to everything that's against the knowledge of God. And only allow in the knowledge of God, the mind of Jesus Christ. Have that. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to have. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Go with me to Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. You know this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, are there negative thoughts out there? Of course there are. Of course there are. It's talking about our focus here. It's talking about our focus. I got two more in this section right here. I'm not trying to ride this horse to death here, but I want us to get it and I want us to understand it and see it. Go with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. A lot of times we emphasize Romans 12 and verse 1. That we're to be a living sacrifice, holy unto God. And that's absolutely true. But then read verse 2. We read verse 2 a lot of times with it. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it mean, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind? It's in the context of be not conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed in your mind. In other words, don't think in the way and go in the way of the world. Go in the way of God. Two choices, spiritual or physical, godly way or not the godly way. That's another way of saying it. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the way we know what God wants, what God is, where God is right. What God is says, this is good, this is not good. This is how we come to know it. And I kind of hinted at this verse a moment ago, but let's go there. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What do you think Jesus Christ would have allowed in his mind even as he walked on the earth? The negative things of the world? Did he know what was going on negative in the world? Of course he did. And of course we do. But what did he put in his mind? What did he focus on? What did he think on? The things of God. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So the point is, we need to be careful about what enters into our minds. The next principle is that we need to strive to become the person that we need to become. In other words, we want to become what God wants us to become. Well, I hear people say, well, I built myself and I'm my own man. I want to be a God man. You know, I want God to build me. I want God to fix me and mold me and shape me in a way that he wants me to be, not the way I want to be. I know how I would go. You know, I'm flesh and blood and bone human being. I know what I would do. I want it to be the way God wants me to be, and I want it to be for you. And so this fourth principle that I want us to think about is we need to strive to become the person that we need to become. And again, we understand this is done through Jesus living his life in us. It's the only way. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. First part of the verse, Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he, and the he is a man, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what goes into our mind, goes back to the last principle, what goes into our mind, what goes into our heart, that's what we're going to be. If you're the person who is focusing on all kinds of bad stuff in our society, as a man thinks in his heart, that's the way we're going to be. Or are we going to put the things of God in our mind and that's what we're going to be? So I have a question. What do we think? What do we think? Do you think like Jesus Christ? I mean, we just read Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Is that the way you think? Is that the way I think? Well, that's what God wants us to think. Do we think about this, the mind of Jesus Christ? Do we even think about what is the mind of Jesus Christ, and that's what's supposed to be in me, and I want that. I mean, I'm asking you, do you really think about these kinds of things? I hope we do. Because the more we think about this, the more we entertain this, the more we're going to put these other things that are of the world away from us. And that's what we need to do. We need to do that. Here's something to think about. You're going to probably hear some things about this at the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. We're going to be kings and priests. We're going to be teachers teaching others about God's way of life. Is this what you think about? Or do we just simply wait until the feast and let the minister get up and tell us this is what we're going to be? And we go, oh yeah, that's good, that's good. God's going to make us kings and priests. Or do you think about it? Well, if you do, great. If you don't, please start. Think on these things. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're to be thinking it. This is what is going to happen and what we're going to be working on. Are we working on these things? Are we educating ourselves? And I know that you could come back and say, yes, but God is going to give us all the information we need to have to do that. He's not going to change our heart. We're going to already have that lined up in the way that it's to go. And so we need to focus on that. We need to think about, strive to become the person that God wants us to become. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That should be describing every one of us. So what we see is we can become the person that God wants us to become, patterned in the image of Jesus Christ. Then over Matthew chapter 11, Jesus makes an interesting statement. He says, learn of me. He tells us what to focus on, what to put into our mind, what we need to be thinking on. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, Matthew 11 verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So we need to be using the word of God, and we need to be learning what Jesus Christ was like. And what Jesus Christ is like today. And we need to be meditating on it. And we need to be focusing on it. And we need to be creating a mental image of how he lived his life. He walked around in the flesh and blood and bone, human body, just like we do. And he did it perfect. And Jesus says, learn of me. I think that's a real good thing to do, to learn of him. We see as a result of it, this is what we are to become, like he is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and however he is, that's how we're going to be. And yes, and I know you could come back and say, well, this is talking about the way the body is going to look. Yes, it is. But you know he's going to have a brain in it also. And so how he comes back, what he looks like, what he thinks, that's exactly the way we're going to be. And so we're to be striving to become like that. And he says, learn of me. So we need to spend time learning about Jesus Christ, how he lived his life, how he did it right, how he put down the things of the world, how he overcame, how he did all of these things. We also need to think and to learn to think long range. And we need to set our goals of growth toward the perfection of Jesus Christ. And so then what we conclude is with Jesus Christ living in his life in us, then we will be growing in that direction. We will be going and growing in that direction just like Jesus Christ. I have one more principle. There's a lot more, but this is the last one I have here. To help us as we seek perfection, our full potential of sons and God's family is that we must maintain an ongoing positive mental attitude. And you may say, well, wait a minute, isn't that the same thing as avoiding what, you know, what's coming in your mind? No, not necessarily. It is to be an attitude of I can do. It's like the Nike Corporation. Their corporate slogan is, just do it. It's with a positive affirmation. We can do this. So it's having this positive mental attitude. Because see, here's the point. Life is filled with blessings from God, and there are also trials, and we understand that. And so no matter what happens, we need to keep our eyes on the kingdom of God. That should be something that we should see it the day we enter into the coming Feast of Tabernacles, and it should be the one of the things that we keep our eyes on as we're exiting out on the last great day, that we're keeping our eyes on God. In other words, it goes back to principle number one. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we make walking the godly way of life the number one priority in our whole life. And it should be the focus. It should be the things, the theme that we see throughout. And so I do, as I said, I do realize there are some negative things. I understand that. But go with me to Philippians 3 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul tells us, just in this one little verse, it's not the whole concept of how he did it, but in this one verse, he tells us how he did this. Philippians 3 and verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. I move forward. I don't let anything get in my way. Paul knew it was sonship in God's family. That's what he knew. And so he pressed toward that. And so that's how they could take him out and they could make him to try to keep him from doing the things that God had instructed him. God said, I want you to go out and I want you to preach to the Gentiles, preach to Israel, and preach to the kings, to the leadership, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, that's in essence what he was told to do. What did he do? He did it. And of course, they loved him for it, right? No, they beat him. They put him in prison. They did every unimaginable thing that we could even imagine they did to him. They stoned him. They left him for thinking that he was dead. Probably was. Jesus wasn't done with him yet. So they raise him up. And he goes back into the very same city and continues to preach Jesus. Because he had his eyes focused on the kingdom of God. How did he do this without seeking God first? How could he do this without having the faith in God that he needed to have? How could he do this without having a positive mental attitude? Well, that's how he did it. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. Matthew 19:29, and everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. You only do this by having this positive mental attitude, seeking God first. He's always there. Okay, go with me now to Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 57. Luke 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wheresoever you go. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and to bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go you and preach the kingdom of God. And another said unto him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this is pretty telling, and this is pretty straightforward. He's saying once we have grabbed onto to looking forward to the kingdom of God and looking back, what does he say? I didn't write this. He says that person is not fit for the kingdom. Those are really, really, really strong words here. And he says, don't look back. Don't ever give up. And we have to be maintaining an ongoing positive mental attitude, obeying God, striving to live by every word that God gives to us, that he shows us from the mouth of God. Matthew 24:13. You know this verse. Matthew 24:13. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And then in Philippians 4:13, again, you know these verses. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Well, I can't continue on like this. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Jesus Christ is in you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do this. And again, I have to state, we don't do it. And I understand that, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. It is Jesus Christ living his life in us. We do our part of obedience, and in reality, it is Jesus Christ in us that's really accomplishing it. So we're either stopping him from doing it, denying him from doing it, or we're going to live it as a way of life. So I think that I hope that we can see that these principles are to help us as we seek perfection, our full potential of sons in the family of God, that we are to be literal sons, children of God, born into his family. And what I'm going to ask you is that you would take these principles with you to the Feast of Tabernacles, and I would ask that you to think on these and to meditate on them and to share them with others, not because this is where you heard it, that it came from me or was part of this group or this teacher, because it's what the Bible says. Take it. And brethren, if we keep these thoughts and concepts, these simply stated principles before us as we live our lives, seeking perfection, we can and we will reach our full potential of sons in the family of God. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 15:52. You know this, and this was read back on the Feast of Trumpets, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so for us as true believers, it is at this time that our full potential will be realized, at the actual fulfillment of this coming day of the Feast of Trumpets. When that last trumpet sounds, it's going to be a reality. We're going to have reached our full potential, being born as sons into the family of God, spirit beings. And from this physical, temporary, fleshly life that we're now living, we will be literal children in the family of God, not something somewhere between the Father and the Son and the angels. Because I had a minister tell me that's where we're going to be. We're not. We're going to be literal sons in the family of God. As Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're going to be sons of God. That's what we're looking to. That's what we're supposed to be picturing by the culmination of all the holy days together. And this is the thing that we should understand. And then we also have the message of the last great day. For all of those who never heard or understood these principles, and they will receive them at that time so that they too can hear it, so that they too can receive them, so they too can understand them and accept them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to stir us up. I'm trying to stir all of us up, myself included, with what excitement we see pictured through God's feast days. Sons of God. And if that doesn't stir you up, I'm not really sure what will. But we're to be sons of God. This is what all of this pictures. And so we go away to this Feast of Tabernacles, this last great day, with this thought in mind, knowing this and understanding this, accepting this. And of course, there is another step in God's awesome plan before we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. And that's the Feast of Atonement. So it's not something just thrown in. It's not just an inconvenient feast day between trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. No, this is where God declares victory over the works of the enemy of God and man. That's an awesome thing. This is an awesome day. And so I look forward to seeing all of you on Atonement to celebrate this victory. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, "Of this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Brethren, you are blessed as being part of the body of Jesus Christ.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.